Welcome to the Bridgeway Community Church Sunday Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Bridgeway, visit our website at bridgeway.cc. To watch this and all of our sermons, visit our YouTube channel and be sure to subscribe while you're there. For sermon notes, click the link in the description. Today, our founding and senior pastor begins a new sermon series entitled Revival. Today's message is called Living Water. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's sermon.
Happy New Year, Bridgeway Community Church. And to those around the world, thank you so much for being with us at the start of a brand new calendar year, 2022. I got dressed this morning, ready to come into church, and I wasn't sure what I was going to wear, and so I decided I was going to wear this African shirt that was made by a woman in Kenya, which I've told you guys about in the past. And as I was in the car coming to church today, I realized the last time I wore this shirt on this stage was at our 30-hour revival. And in the location where I am now, there were people worshiping God, hearing God's word, praying prayers, receiving prophetic declarations, and even I hear there was some marching around the room, and I think I was wearing this. So as I was reflecting on that, I said, you know what? I'm so happy that even though I didn't plan it like this, it's a great reminder even for me of what God did at our 30-hour revival. Now, you may be thinking, well, I missed it. You don't have to miss it. You can go on our YouTube page, 30 hours of preaching, praying, prophetic declarations, and praise. Go back and watch it. Maybe that's something you'll want to do in the start of the year and just get God's word inside of you. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, is the power of God's word and God's presence. I'm starting a brand new 3-week series called Revival. And today we're going to talk about living water. Next week we're going to talk about fresh wind. And then the final week, we're going to talk about new wine. We don't want what happened at the revival to stay there. If we are revived again, and if God is moving to help us to thrive, then we've got to continue to move into His Word and flow with the power of His Holy Spirit in order to not just keep it alive, but to thrive indeed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we go into Your Word now, we pray that Your Word would breathe life into us. Bless today's message on living water. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Water and life go hand in hand. Physically, without water, we can't live. And spiritually, without the water of the Word of God, our spiritual life goes dry and non-vibrant at best, non-existent at worst. And as a general rule, the human body cannot survive more than just a few days without any water. And just a few facts about water. I didn't know this, but water actually regulates the temperature of the earth. It also regulates the temperature of our human bodies. It carries the nutrients and the oxygens to all the different cells, the cushion joints, it protects the organs and the tissues, and it removes waste. So water has a very, very important role, not only in the ecosystem, but even in our bodies. 75% of your brain is made up of water, and 75% of a living tree is water. And many medical scientists say that each of us need to drink about 2 liters of water every day to remain healthy. And just like the body needs a lot of water to carry out its essential functions, such as balancing our internal temperatures and keeping our cells alive, your spirit needs the water of God's word to balance out your spiritual temperature. And if it's true as a rule of thumb that you need to have water after about 3 days, you could possibly die, then let me ask the question. How long can you survive spiritually without being in and under God's word? When was the last time you cracked open your Bible and read God's word or your Bible app? When was the last time you memorized a scripture verse or meditated on a verse in scripture? Don't feel guilty. Get motivated. Do something about it. You can go to bridgeway.cc/, type out the word 30, and you can join multiple groups that are here to help you online with our 30 challenge. You can memorize scripture with people. You can meditate on God's word with people. There's a lot there to help you grow, mature, and mighty. So don't just stay in guilt. Get motivated. And if we're going to have true revival in our hearts and our minds, our souls and our spirit, then we must drink the water of God's word daily. Today, I want to visit the story of a woman from Samaria. You may know her as the Samaritan woman or the woman at the well. If you have a copy of the scripture, go to John chapter 4, because I'm going to walk us through the story of this woman at the well. Now, she's not really given a name, so I thought I'd give her one today. Why don't we just call her Wilma? Sound good to you? So this is Wilma, the woman at the well. I'll make a few observations about the flow of living water in our life, and I'll give a few signs of how you know whether that flow is in your life or not, and then we'll be done. But we're going to read through the story, and I'll pick it up at verse 7. When a Samaritan woman, Wilma, came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans, who were mixed-race people, Jewish and otherwise. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." In verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Let me give you three observations about living water. The living water that Jesus was talking about, we can observe, number one, it flows without cost. It flows without cost. Look at verse 10a. It says, Jesus says, "If you knew the gift of God." You see, God wants to give the living water, and here's the thing. He gives it without cost. It doesn't cost you anything. It would cost him everything. But the living water that Jesus offered this Samaritan woman, and the living water that he offers you, whether you are a woman or a man, whether you are of one race or another, whether you are a daughter or a child, the water of God's word and the water of God's wonder and the water of God's presence can be with you for free. And we can't take this for granted, because when you continue to read scripture, it's interesting that even in the book of Revelation, you know, the book of Revelation is that book where John the apostle sees a vision of what heaven's going to be like. And it's the last two or three chapters that usher us into what the eternal state is going to be like for every believer. And when you get to chapter 20, that pretty much ends it for unbelievers. They go away and they live separate from God, and all the Armageddon and all the stuff that theologians talk about from chapters 4 to chapter 20 is all a chock full of stories and symbols. But when you get to chapter 21, it now ushers us into what the eternal state will be like for all believers. And I want you to notice the gift of this water. Like, why is it a free gift? Well, in Revelation 21, verse 6, it says this. "He said to me," talking about Jesus, "it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink, listen, without cost, from the spring of the water of life. This living water is without cost to us. Check out chapter 22. It's the last chapter in all of the Bible, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the, here it is, free gift of water, of life. This living water that Jesus was offering the woman is the same living water that he offers to all of us. And when we get to the other side, we'll see that the river that's flowing inside of us was given to us at a cost to him, Jesus. But for us, it's a free gift. We call that grace. For it is by grace you are saved. It's because of God's mercy and because of God's grace that he offers this water that we don't have to work for. This woman would have had to go deep into the well to work to get that water to come out. And people do this in religion all the time. They work hard to get the deep things of life out so that they can ingest it. But what Jesus is saying is, I have the kind of water that will flow up in you and you will never thirst again. And she says, well, you don't even have what is necessary to get to it. How are you going to get to the water? She was looking for Jesus to have a bucket. Jesus was trying to say, I am the bucket. I am all you need in order to draw deep into the things of life that will satisfy your greatest desires. The first observation is that this water flows without cost, but secondly, it flows without limits. In this same verse, chapter 4, verse 10b, the second half of it, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you, here it is, living water. See, again, water is about life. It's about living. It's given to us without cost. It's given to us without limits. If it's living, that means it doesn't have limits. It keeps going. It is either, listen, water is either giving life with its flow, or taking life with its floods. When we see water at the beginning of the world, if you ever thought about this, I showed you the end, right? Revelation 21, Revelation 22. But did you know that water was right there in the beginning? Think about Genesis chapter 1. Have you ever thought about water? Where did it come from? Well, verse 1 says, at the beginning of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over what? The waters. It was there. Now, maybe he created it way before, but there's nothing that said he created it. I'm sure it was just with him. But his spirit was hovering over the waters. Now, this is the verse that most people quote. And God said, it's verse 3, let there be light, and there was light. This is where we usually start with creation. Let there be light, and there was light. But remember, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. But remember, there's a bridge between 1 and 3, and that's verse 2, which we read. Let's look at it again. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was hovering over the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Some people say right here, this is the origin of a thought called the gap theory, where we don't know how much time took place from verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In verse 3, God said, let there be light. But his spirit was hovering over the waters. How long? Could have been millions of years. So some people are like all up against evolution because they count the earth and they say the earth is millions of years. Well, it could be millions of years. We don't know how much time between verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and when God says in verse 3, let there be light, and there was light. But what about verse 2? The Spirit of God is hovering over the darkness. The earth was formless without void. So when he speaks the light, now he's starting to put form to creation. But how long was it formless? How long was it void? How long were the waters there and his Spirit hovering over? It could be millions of years. Now, did it take 6 days to create the heavens and the earth? Yeah, start with verse 3, though. And God said, let there be light. Now you can do day 1, day 2, day 3, day 5, day 6, and then he rested on the 7th day. But prior to that, how long was the earth here? How long was water here? And then a part of creation now is he's taking the water and he's separating it and he creates an expanse. And now you have the sky and you have the water and you have all this atmosphere in between it. And then he has all the fish teeming in the waters. And now all this life is starting and coming from the waters. The waters have been there. The word has been there. And now Jesus is talking about this woman at a well who's trying to get the very thing that sustains life. And one of those things is water. That was in Genesis. Now, in Revelation, I gave you 2 of 3 verses that mentions the water of life. And I'm giving these to you for further study. But I want you to notice that the water of life is mentioned in the new earth, in the new heaven, 3 times. In 21:6, Revelation 21:6, it calls it the springs of the water of life. In 22:1, calls it rivers of the water of life. And in 22:17, calls it a free gift of the water of life. You see, this water is about life. And life is without limits because it's eternal. Water was here before the creation began. Water will be in the new heaven and the new earth. But I want you to also notice in the new kingdom, in the eternal kingdom, there seems to be no mention of fire. Light? Yes. Jesus is the light. Fire? No. There is no fire that burns and destroys in heaven. Eternal hell is the place that's reserved for fire, not in the eternal kingdom. In fact, in these chapters, these last 2 chapters of the scriptures, in Revelation 21:8, it says, listen, their place, talking about sinners who are not saved, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. If you are born once physically, you will die twice, a first death and a second death, your physical death and your spiritual death in the eternal lake of fire. No water in hell. But if you're born twice, you will only die once. If you're born twice, you're born physically, and then you accept Christ as your Savior. Secondly, you're born spiritually. And if you're born physically and spiritually, like we're going to see with this woman, she accepted the living water flowing in her. If you are born twice, you will only die once, a physical death. But you will live forever in a place where there's a whole lot of water and no fire. And remember, Jesus is not about death. He's about life. He died so we wouldn't have to die eternally. This is why Jesus says in John 10:10, I come that you might have life and have it to the full. Have it abundantly. Jesus is about life. The water of the word is about life. Heaven is all about life. And if you look at the last 2 or 3 chapters of Revelation, you see life, life, life. I already told you 3 times water of life is mentioned. Did you also know that 3 times the tree of life is mentioned? And did you also know that 3 times the book of life is mentioned? If you are in the book of life, chapter 20, verse 12, chapter 20, verse 15, chapter 21, verse 27, if you are in the book of life, then you will forever be able to eat from the tree of life. Revelation 22, 2, Revelation 22, 14, Revelation 22, 19. And you will be able to drink from the waters of life. Revelation 21, 6, 22, 1, 22, 17. If your name is written in the book of life from the one who shed his blood, the Lamb's book of life, if your name's in it, guess what? You will never die. You will never experience a second death. You will experience life without limits for all of eternity. Your name's written in the book of life. You will be able to eat from the tree of life and you'll be able to enjoy the waters of life. Who wouldn't want that? See, water was never supposed to be about death. Never. This is why the Lord promised never to end the world again by flooding, because water is not supposed to bring death, just life. This is why when a woman gives birth, her water breaks for the beginning of new life. Baptism symbolizes the breaking of new spiritual life, affirmed when you trust Christ as Savior. And in Genesis 9, God made a covenant with man, with Noah specifically. There's a rainbow in the sky. And when you see that rainbow, you are supposed to be reminded that God promised that he will never allow the world to be flooded again to bring death across the entire world. Never again, because water was never supposed to be about death. And the only reason water is associated with death now is because of the curse. This is why when Jesus returns, it says the sea will give up the dead. And in heaven, Revelation 21:1, there will no longer be any sea where the dead reside. No sea in heaven, just rivers flowing. You see, the water that Jesus is offering Wilma, this Samaritan woman, is living water. Water that will bring her spiritual life. And Jesus is offering her not only spiritual life, but eternal life, a life that's flowing with an eternal spring of possibilities. Do you have this kind of spiritual life flowing in you today, my friends? Whether you're in Africa or Afghanistan, whether you're in America or Armenia, Jesus offers the living water to you right where you are. Whether you're in your apartment or in your car or sitting on the side of the road with your cell phone, on a bike, God offers you this living water. If you don't have it, let me ask, do you want it? You see, this woman, Wilma, said to Jesus, yes, yes, I want it. Give me that water where I will never thirst again. This water that flows without cost, this water that flows without limits. And thirdly, as a final observation, this water that flows within our hearts. Not only without cost, without limits, but within our hearts. Check out verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become," here it is, "in him, a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to drink water." This Samaritan woman is still not getting it. It's coming, but she's still not getting it. She's still thinking, physical water that might magically cure all my natural thirst. So he tells her in verse 16, "You know what? Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." But Jesus is trying to say to her, because she's still focused on the physical water, he's trying to say to her, "Listen, lovely woman, listen, young lady, listen, honey, can I just tell you something? You have been thirsty for a long time for the wrong thing, one man after the next. You've been looking for love in all the wrong places. It didn't work for husband one, two, three, four, five. And even the one that you are with now, number six, is not going to work. But I got a word for you. that 7 is the number of perfection and I'm here. I'm going to give you what you've always been longing for. I'm going to give you what you've always been looking for. They could never satisfy what you've been trying to get all your years. You've been thirsty for all your years, but I've come to cure your thirst problem. You will no longer be thirsty when you get the water that I give to you, because it will flow within you. It will be a spring of living water. You will never need another husband after number 7 comes along, because that's the number of completion. The living water I'm talking about will cure your thirst for all the things in life that you've been trying to feed, like your insecurities and your low self-esteem and the approval of other people. Verse 19, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem." So now she's shifting. Now she's moving. She's moving from physical water now into the religious realm. Verse 21, "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." Verse 23, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." And I can imagine this woman now just kind of tilting her head and listening and nodding, finally starting to get it. In verse 24, Jesus says, "God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said, "I know that Messiah," meaning Christ, "is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one who's speaking to you right now, I am he." Number 1, wasn't he? Number 2, wasn't he? 3, 4, 5, 6, wasn't he? Drugs, wasn't he? Sex, wasn't he? Food, wasn't he? Drinking, wasn't he? You've been looking for a Messiah. You've been looking for the Christ. You've been looking for one who could explain everything. In the well of your heart, Miss Wilma, what you've been looking for, I am he. You can imagine this major transformation is taking place in this woman's story, and you can see this new flow of spiritual life welling up within Wilma. Have you ever felt that new flow welling up inside of you? Have you ever gotten that sense that the Spirit of God and the Word of God is bubbling up inside of you? Did you feel that at our 30-hour revival? Do some of you feel that even now as the Word of God is coming into your hearts and into your homes? There is this flow. There is this sense of movement inside your spirit, the exact opposite of the dry bones of Ezekiel, where there was death and nothing. And some of you were spiritually dry before this sermon started, and now you're starting to feel something bubble up inside of you. That is the Holy Spirit saying, "I am with you. I am ready to come into your life and change your life." That is saying to the believer who has received the Lord before, but they've just dried up because of the circumstances of life. They've left God during COVID. They've left God during the pandemic. They not only left church, they left God. And God is saying, "Yeah, but there's a new flow. We have a sink that the garbage disposal is broken, and so the water stays in the sink, and we had to get it fixed so that the flow would work again." Some of you have everything you need. It's just that something is broken, stopping you up, and the flow is no longer there. You know what it used to be like. You knew what your first love was. You had that feeling of the movement of God's Spirit, and you're starting to feel it bubble up even now, because God is fixing your garbage disposal. Some of you have allowed so much garbage to just pile up in your life, pile up in your mind, pile up in your heart, that it has stopped the flow. And God is saying right now, I'm beginning to allow it to well up in you, springs of living water. So what are those signs to know that you are in the flow? Let me give you a couple before we leave. Signs to know that you are in the flow. Here's the first one. You have love. You have love. You have the loving worship of God by the Spirit and based on the truth. The Samaritan woman's idea of worship was based on location. But Jesus is now trying to show her that worship is based on love. Verses 19 and 20, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our father is worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem." She's focused on location. But notice Jesus is focused on love. He says in verse 21, "Believe me, woman, at a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." It's not about the mountain that you pray. Where you pray, it's not about Jerusalem, although Jerusalem's really important. Bottom line, worshiping God is not about location. Worshiping God is about love. You Samaritans, verse 22, "Worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has come, now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they're the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. You know that you have the flow when you worship the Father with a heart of love. You see, God is seeking those who worship him with their hearts, not based on religion, not based on ancestry, not based on philosophy or cultural heritage, not even on ancient locations. God wants people to worship in him and with a spirit of love and truth. God didn't create human beings to be robots. He wanted people with a free will, like this woman and like you and like me, to choose to worship him in spirit and in truth. God has always wanted us to love him back as much as he loves us. And one of the ways you know that you have the flow is that you begin to have this love. A love for God, where you worship him, and a love for people. You worship him through giving. You worship him through living. You worship him through singing. You just love God. That's how you know you have the flow. A second sign of knowing you have the flow is joy. Joy. I often say joy stands for Jesus overflowing in you. Wilma had this joy overflowing. In fact, Wilma ran back to the town, and she began sharing the good news with everyone. She was so excited. She leaves her water jar. She goes back to the town, and she tells everybody, "I can't believe this. God, I got to tell you, I met a man." To which they responded, so what's new? No, but seriously, they didn't realize that something had transformed. Something had changed. Verse 27, "Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking to a woman, but no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking to her?' Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah?'" She left her water jar. And Jesus had no food. They came back. The disciples came back. "Did you eat anything?" He says, I ate the will of the Father." So check it out. The woman had no jar. Jesus had no food, but both of them were full. Verse 39, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony." You see, she was overflowing. When you're overflowing with this love, when you're overflowing with this joy, that's when you know you got the flow. She couldn't help herself. She couldn't contain herself. She was full of something that she knew was not making her thirsty again, but had satisfied something she had never felt before. "And he told me everything I did," verse 40. "So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers." Verse 42, "They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Wow. They were no longer living on her faith, or as Kevin Turpin would say, faith on credit that he preached a couple of weeks ago. They heard it for themselves and they believed for themselves. You know you're in the flow when you have joy, love. There's a third and final sign, though. Yes, love. Yes, joy. But finally, let me give this to you. Peace. Peace. You know, while I've taken you throughout all the scriptures, I just got to land you quickly on Psalm 46, because it's in verses 4 and in verses 3 that gives us an idea of what this peace like a river feels like. And when you have the river of life flowing in you, you have the peace of God's presence like a river. Some of you know Psalm 46. It opens up with God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. But check out verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. In other words, when you're in the presence of God, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. His presence brings a peaceful river flow in your soul. You know that song, it is well with my soul when peace like a river. Yeah. But some people say, well, rivers ain't so peaceful. You're right. Look at verse 3. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. You see, 3 is in contrast to 4, in contrast without his presence in your life. Then rivers surge and roar and rage dangerously with no sense of peace in your soul. So let me ask you, which verse, verse 4 or 3, is a picture of your life right now? Verse 4, a peaceful flowing when you're resting in his presence. Or verse 3, an unpeaceful flooding, raging without his presence. Friends, is your life marked with the flow of God's love, God's joy, and God's peace right now? If not, ask. Do what she did. Ask her. Practically, you can say, God, unleash the flow of your spirit in my life right now. Unleash the power of your word in my life right now. Jesus, I want the water of your word in my life right now to cleanse me and wash me like Ephesians 5:26 says, the water of God's word washing the bride of Christ. Ask him to release the flow. Ask him what he promised in Matthew 5:6, that he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. And practically speaking, next time you drink some water, let it be a reminder of the word of God. And as the water is essential to your entire life, keeping all the functions of your body working, the word of God is essential for the functioning of your spiritual life, keeping revival and keeping you thriving alive. So drink up, my friends, drink up. Water. What have we said today? We said, and these three observations, Jesus' living water flows without cost, without limits, and within our hearts. The three signs to know the flow is in you. You have love, you have joy, and you have peace. Which, by the way, are the first three of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. How do you know if you have the flow? You have the love, joy, and peace glow. And may the Spirit of God and the waters of revival flow in your hearts today. Amen and amen. Do you receive that word today? I've asked Rebecca Rodriguez to come up and to seal this word in prayer. And then behind her, I've asked Anthony Patton to seal the sermon with some prophetic declarations, just like we did in our revival. Each one of these sermons for this series, we're going to have a prayer and then we're going to have a prophetic declarer. And so, Rebecca Rodriguez, would you take us to the throne of grace where the flowing of God's water can touch our souls now.
Yes, Pastor. Happy New Year's, Bridgeway, and everyone joining us today. Thank you, Pastor, for this word. Let's go and thank the Father for the message that was given to Pastor Anderson. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that once again you have met us and you have brought us to a new year, a new time, Lord God, and a reminder of what it is to be filled with your living water. Father, we just ask that you meet every person here today, every person watching, every person wondering what is it that the new year will bring. And Lord God, we just ask that you would help them to move in belief in the power of your word so that they may be renewed and understand that the living water that flows comes from you. Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God who has never left. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God who continues to fill us and who continues to call us to walk in joy, peace, and love. Father, we just need you. And we know, Lord, that you're here with us when we seek your face. Help us, Lord God, to seek your face in truth and in love. Help us to remember that you know our need and that you continue to guide us and protect us, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the living water of your word. Yes, we love you, Father, and we ask that you continue to touch us, to walk with us, and that this new year will allow us to draw near to you. Help us, Father, to trust you and to hold on to the living water of who you are.
Yes.
We love you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Rebecca. Anthony Patton will now give our prophetic declarations.
Happy New Year, Bridgeway. Man, that was such a powerful word. Just going to lead us into five prophetic declarations that I believe is just going to touch and bless our lives. The first one is that I declare and I decree that we will allow ourselves to be revived by the free water of God's word. Second one, I declare and decree that we will allow God to fix every blockage that backs up his flow in our lives. Third one, I declare and decree that we will accept the invitation from the Spirit and the bride saying, come. Number four, I declare and decree that rivers of living water would swell up in our innermost being as a resource for consistent revival.
Yes.
And then the last one, I declare and decree that we should worship in spirit and in truth and receive the flow of love, joy, and peace. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Rebecca, for that prayer, and Anthony for those prophetic declarations. And I agree with you in your prayer, and I agree with you in your declarations. Might we be a river that's flowing with resources for consistent revival in our lives and in your life as well. We'll see you next week as we talk about fresh wind.
Thanks for listening to the Bridgeway Community Church Sunday Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Bridgeway, visit our website at bridgeway.cc. To watch all of our sermons, visit our YouTube channel and make sure you subscribe while you're there. If you'd like to download sermon notes, just click the link in the description. If you'd like to take part in our 30th anniversary challenge, go to bridgeway.cc/30. That's bridgeway.cc/THIRTY. Thanks again for listening, and have a great week.